So just about the most unorthodox episode number 41 of Dialed In with Jake and Zach. Zach is getting his car ready for the I-57 Summer Door Car Shootout. Luke Bogacki's race there at I-57 in Benton, Illinois. So you've heard Zach kind of do the intro and the results and stuff by himself. And I'm going to do this one, like all of it. And it's going to be a little bit different just because, well, Zach works harder than I do. That's about it. But LostChevroletBuick.com is your one-stop shop for new or used vehicles. And if you're in the tri-state area in southern Indiana or northern Kentucky or southern Illinois, you know, swing in there. Any service you need, they'll hook you up with it. Any used or new car, LostChevroletBuick.com, LostChevroletBuick on Facebook.
What's up, Dialed In listeners? This is Luke Bogacki for ThisIsBracketRacing.com. Listen, you have invested a ton of time, energy, resources into your racing operations. You deserve to see a return on that investment in terms of win lights. That's where we come in. Specifically in this day and age of ultra-competitive 8th-mile bracket competition, our cars are far better than we are. I can go dead on. You can go dead on. Seemingly every car at the racetrack can go dead on. The starting line is the biggest variable. In fact, I would argue that it's not close. You need to hit the tree. That matters nearly every round and at every level of competition. I can help. Exclusively for you, Dialed In listeners, we're giving away one of our best reaction time trainings for free. It's about determining how tight you can and should set up on the tree to take advantage of your starting line skills while guarding against throwing it all away with a red light. Check it out. Again, it's free at thisisbracketracing.com/dialedtree. Again, that's thisisbracketracing.com/dialed, as in dialed in podcast, tree, all one word. thisisbracketracing.com/dialedtree.
Here we go, staging them up on the left-hand lane. The Throwdown Motorsports 65 Chevy 2. 626 on the dial, it's Zach Slump. On the right-hand side, the Icon Pistons Diamond Engine and Machine 74 Vega Wagon. 592 on the dial, it's Jake Hodge.
So, I could say we're back, episode 41, but I'm back, and it's kind of weird. You know, Zach's done it by himself before, and I was like, hey man, you know, I'll pull my weight here. I'll do one. It's going to be horrible, I'm sure, but I'm not going to do a whole results section. I know a couple highlights. Bogac won at the divisional in Joliet. You know, that's really the only standout that I saw last week. I wasn't really looking a whole lot, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to run through the Drag Champ top 10 list in the week of July 17th. Number one is Nasty Nick, of course. He's just doing Nasty Nick things. He's on it. He won a $50,000 at the SFG 500. He won the No Box Class Friday and Sunday at the Quaker City race against Michael Beard both times. So Nasty Nick's on a roll. He's the number one on the Drag Champ top 10 list. Number two is the guy that's on a fire. Like literally, not literally on fire, but he is smoking right now. Ricky Decker, another final round at the Division 3 race at Route 66. A couple of those final rounds, like a couple as in like three or four of them so far, 2019. Number three is Mike Coughlin. He won top dragster at the Indy Divisional and then back-to-back at the Route 66 Lucas Oil event. Getting two in a row between Indy and Joliet. Mike Coughlin, the top dragster. I mean, I think he's in Sonoma running the double divisional, so he broke out the fuel card and headed west. Number four, Marco Paravolaris. He's West Coast. I mean, he's wearing him out. He kicked off the year with a double at Sonoma Raceway and then the Western States Championship, got everything but the final win line. He was three final rounds over the weekend, didn't win any of them. However, the Friday five grander shootout, the Saturday quick 16 race, and the $7,500 Saturday main event, runner-up in all three of those. Quick 16, he lost to Big Nasty, which is back on the record books. It's his battle with cancer is declining, and he's back in a race car, and his first win since he's been back driving, and it's good to have Big Nasty back, and whenever he hits his groove again, you don't want to be anywhere near him. So Iggy Wojcicki picked up the win in New England Nationals here recently, and then he followed that up with a Mid-Atlantic .90 Association, the 90 classes, super classes there at Cecil County. He won that as well. Congratulations to Iggy. Ray Boyer had a really, really good weekend at Lucas Oil Raceway. He made the split, and then another round on top of that at the SFG 500. So he lost 8 cars at that. And a couple weeks later, he won the Saturday race at Indy, and the Sunday race, he lost that 3 cars, turned it a Thal Red. He is hot right now. Maverick Green is a 19-year-old motorcycle racer. He is number 7 on the drag champ list. He won Modified Eliminator at the IHRA Sportsman Spectacular on a scooter. Sunday final, he beat his dad, who was also on a motorcycle. So that all the kudos to him. He is, I mean, that I don't even know how. I can barely ride a moped through the pit area, let alone a scooter, and try to hit the bottom and shift and all that good stuff. But number 7 is Maverick Green. Number 8 is Jacob Foster. He won Saturday and Sunday in junior dragster at the IHRA Sportsman Spectacular. Nick Bauman is up there too. Nick has been, I was watching the live feed from Quaker City on Motor Mania, and he got thrown a whole bunch of nasty runs at him, and it seemed like he always get a few thou inside of him. And he runnered up the Friday 5 grander at the Big Bucks Nationals there at Quaker City to Sean Serra. But Nick is red hot right now. Bill Taggart hopped into a 11 second in the 8th mile Ford Taurus, which, if you know Bill Taggart, he's really good at anything that involves drag racing. But $2,500 to win on Sunday at the Western States Championship, and a Ford Taurus dialed 1180 something. Got on the 10 cars Friday night in the same, and one round out of the money on Saturday. So there's your Drag Champ top 10 list. Thank you to Drag Champ for putting this up weekly. I'll breeze back through it real quick. It is also sponsored by M-Motion Solutions, so we've got that in common. Jeff Serra, I'm recording this at Piedmont Dragway right now because I'm a slacker. Jeff picked up the win last night in the $15,000 warm-up race. He had a pretty good final round. He was 3 dead and 9. Shannon Justice was 001 and 105, so a really good final round last night. But the top 10 list, breeze back through them. Nasty Nick Hastings, number 1. Ricky Decker, number 2. Mike Coughlin, number 3. Marco Ferro-Villars, number 4. Iggy Wojcicki, 5. Ray Bowyer, 6. Maverick Green, 7. Jacob Foster, 8. Nick Bauman, 9. And Bill Taggart rounding out the top 10. There's a few honorable mentions in there, but go to dragchamp.com and check those out. You can find out who the honorable mentions actually are. And there you go. It gives you a little plug to go do that. I'm going to wind that up. We're going to go into the interview today with Dave Scirbondi. So this awkward episode 41 that I'm doing by myself, I'm not sure how Zach does it, but this is the easy part. So I've got a guy on the phone that we're both at racetracks, so it's going to get hard to hear at times, I'm sure. But a guy that my announcing career took off, and he was there to witness like the first time I ever announced, and he was like the first guy to ever tell me I was doing it wrong. So a guy that I called Dave Scirbondi for, I don't know, 9 rounds on a Saturday at Muncie Dragway. After I think he runnered up. He runnered up, right?
Yeah, I runnered up Bulldog.
Yeah.
Kenny.
Yeah. So he comes to town and he said, "Hey man, my last name's Scirbondi, but keep calling me Scirbondi because it's working." But fresh off a $5,000 IHRA Sportsman Spectacular win at US 131, Dave, man, how's it going? And you went back to the scene of the crime. You're back at it again there next week or this week.
Sitting right here in the trailer, ready for next round.
Yeah. So kind of before we get into all these questions that you're going to get hammered with here, but tell me, you know, how did you start drag racing? How did you get to where you're at today? And, you know, maybe family, I don't know how you got into it, but just give us a rundown from when it started to where we're at today.
I've only been doing this since like 2012. Kind of a long story, but I'll make it quick. I had a boat sale, and a guy called me up and said, "Hey man, you want a dragster?" And that's how it started. And I've built this car I have now in 2015, and that's just kind of jumped in for both feet, you know, and here I am.
Yeah, and kind of run us through your today program, because I think the car you were driving at Muncie was a hardtail, if I remember right.
Yeah, it's same car. It's a home-built car. Yeah, it's a hardtail. The guy, local guy, built it, Rocky Troxel, US 12 Speed and Custom. He built it for himself, never finished it. I ended up buying it from him, and we finished it up, and it's just an old hardtail that gets the job done.
Well, it certainly does that. I mean, the results have spoke for themselves, and everywhere you go, I mean, you go a whole bunch of rounds, because I'm on the fence watching usually like round 2 or 3, but I'm not saying you don't see hardtails anymore, because obviously everybody knows these L's and a hardtail and whatnot, but you know, it's not the preferred weapon of choice, but really it doesn't matter. I mean, it starts and goes to the staging lanes, and it's kind of all in your hands from there.
Yeah, it's a little less weight to deal with, a little less, I just got to set the tires and go. You got to be careful what tracks you go to. You got to be at smooth tracks for hardtails to work for a while.
I've been through that. I know exactly what you mean. That was my first dragster I ever owned was a hardtail, and I ripped the ignition wires in two at a racetrack that we're not going to talk about. But
yeah.
Anyway, so walk us through last Saturday. Walk us through the IHRA Sportsman Spectacular, and obviously the only way I found your Skype on here, there's three Dave Shribondis, and there I see one with a 131 winner circle, a pretty distinct winner circle. So kind of walk us through how you got landed there and kind of give us a rundown of the day.
Well, I got up in the morning, I put away a good car Saturday night, and Sunday morning I unloaded a broke car, as always, and so we scrambled.
I know exactly how you feel.
We were scrambling to change a fuel pump and make it to the first round, and, you know, covered in sweat. And anyway, that's how it goes. Made it through the first couple rounds pretty good. I think it was somewhere around round four, I drew a tough cookie, Lane Ledford. And, of course, I missed the tree, and luckily he went red. So that was my break of the day. You know how that goes.
Former $50,000 race winner at 131, Lane Ledford, yes.
Yeah, and he did not go red by much. I mean, that was my break. And it just compounded from there, you know, just kept going rounds. Car was working great. I was hitting the tree mediocre. I didn't set up 00. I just set up on a 10, and it was working. Ended up getting the Jeff Ledford in the final, and we both pretty much identical up front, and it came down to 005 finish. I mean, it was a race.
Right.
We had a good drag race at the end there.
Yeah, and you know, it goes to say, you know, there's a couple interviews actually in this episode, but I've already recorded one of them, and we talked about you have to have that one round, it seems like, and everybody talks about having that one round. I don't ever get it, but you get away with it, and I don't know as a driver, for me, I feel like that just brings you back down, like, all right, I got to refocus, I can't let it happen again, and kind of just pull up the bootstraps and go at it.
I think you start getting in a rhythm there, and you think that you're invincible, and then next thing you know, you miss it, and you're in trouble. And if you can get by that...
When you say you can't be talking about me, because it's hard to get in a rhythm after a reentry round.
Yeah, that's true.
But so, kind of, you've had really a lot of success in the short time you've been racing. The deal at Muncie, I think you run it up on the Saturday, I believe, and the Sunday you win a whole bunch of rounds, or vice versa. But I mean, everywhere you go, you did pretty good at the 500. One day I saw you go pretty deep.
Six rounds or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah. See, I was parked right across from you, and I was sitting there watching you go up and come back. You know, just a testament to just keep doing it, keep working at it. And the equipment. I mean, the equipment's so good these days.
Lot of it is good equipment. You got some good people helping you. You know, my engine guy, he's behind me 110%. You know, he'll run Monday
morning. This is your time to let him shine. Let's hear about him.
Well, that's Joe Gallagher, junior and senior. It's a father-son deal. They've been doing it for 100 years. Gallagher, the old man was ADRL world champ and stuff like that. You know, they just build good engines. And the kid, you know, Monday morning, I need parts. He gets in the truck and goes get me parts while I'm at work. And, you know, he's like, can't do it without him. So he keeps my motor running, transmission together. Like I said, the guy Rocky Troxel up there, he built the car. I've dropped that car off on 4th of July, broke, and picked it up on the 6th of July, fixed. You know, he's welding tubes back together, or whatever happens, he stands behind me. Another good buddy, my buddy Tyler Satterfield, he runs a Quality Tool and Die. He's delivered my car broken to get fixed, and, you know, when I'm not around, and just all around good hand to have, you know, wrenching on the car. The guy that wrapped the cars, his name's Fernando Lopez, Creative Graphic Solutions. He wrapped the car for me. And that wrap has been on that car for 5 years, and it looks just as good as the day he did it.
Yeah, it's still impeccable. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a dragster. They all kind of look the same, but mine is mine. So.
Right, yeah, and that's the beauty of it. You know, it's kind of, it's my sandbox, and I'll have whatever sand I want in it.
Yep. Then my neighbors up here at Martin, you know, the Wobuski brothers, George and Andy, they run a shop called GTW. They're the ones that came over with the meter, and they're testing the fuel pump. And they helped me. They have the fuel pump. You know, they donated that to get me through the day. And I couldn't have done it without them. You know, they're down in there up their elbows in gas trying to change the fuel pump with me. That was my help for the weekend for sure, man. I couldn't have done it without all my helpers.
Yeah, so where is it that you call home, and where is your home racetrack?
It's Martin now. We used to race out of Osceola a lot. And we switched to Martin this year just for the schedule. It's a little easier on me for work and whatnot. But, yeah, we're out of LaPorte, Indiana, and we come up to Martin, Osceola. Just kind of stay around here. It's northern Indiana, I guess. Every now and then I make it down to that Muncie.
That's what we were talking about. I was talking about in the intro is, you know, you were there the first time I ever picked up a microphone. And that was something that I mean, that day I can go back and I can remember a whole bunch of stuff that happened, but every time I see you roll into the racetrack, I'm like, hey, there's Dave Shirbandy.
Yep. I'll never forget it.
I just can't help it. And you're like, it literally says Shirbandy. And I think it was a not on file. I think they had your car number wrong in the system. So I was just reading off the side of the car and thought I was right. You know, I've
yep.
got 2010 vision. Look at me. You know, how could I be wrong? But, I know your wife's a big part of your racing program.
Yep, my wife definitely helps me. She's all in. She races. I just heard her fire her car up, so she's going up for her round right now. I couldn't do this without her support for sure. That's definitely gotta throw her name out there too. Yep. Oh, I can't forget the guys up here at Martin, the Chicken Slayers. I don't know if you ever heard of them.
Oh, Team CS, yeah.
Yeah, I gotta give a shout out to them just because.
Anybody that wants to shout out Dave Lorenz has something wrong with him.
Yep, I'm sure they'll hear this. They'll get a kick out of me mentioning them a little. But
I know for sure Matt listens for sure, so Matt will rat us all out.
Yep. It was a good day. You know, the stars aligned, and that's how it happens sometimes. I was really happy with it. Hopefully this fall is my next big one. I'll be down there at Bristol, so hopefully we can gather something up there.
Fingers right down the road, huh?
Yep.
You're going to do that to me?
Yeah.
skipping a couple 10 granders right down the road. Your next big one's going to be in Bristol. All right.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at my
schedule. You know, I keep my friends list small anyway. It's okay.
You're on the calendar, but I'm supposed to work that weekend. And
just not circled. That's okay. I get it. I ain't even mad at you. kind of like today, like the bracket racing today is brutal. I mean, it's. And you kind of started in where it started getting really bad. You know, it's hard to go locally and even let go 15 and turn on a wind light anymore. You know, everybody's stuff goes dead on. But what would you change anything about the bracket racing scene today if you could? What would you change if you could?
No, it's going pretty good. The big money races is on everybody's mind of the prices and stuff. I think it's got to flatten out eventually. I think we're getting close here. For me, you know, this is my business. It's a hobby. The $2,000 entries and stuff, I can only do so many of those a year. So I stick with the point races, and then I'll hit the big money ones when I have time and money.
Right.
I still enjoy points chasing. That's really what I do enjoy at the core, and that's what I'm still going to do forever. I'm never going to quit points chasing because it's fun.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it gives you – I mean, you go to these racetracks and you know, these big races, you're there for, you know, 18 hours a day. And it's, I mean, and we're not complaining because it's what we signed up for. We know what's coming, but, but you go into a points race at 131, you're like, all right, I'm 7 points out of first. I gotta make it this far or this many rounds further than this guy. And it gives you a goal. I mean, it seems like you roll into these big money races anymore. You're like, yeah, it's 50 grand to win today.
Yep.
You know,
And all the big money races, not that everybody's mean, but it's just they're there to make money. The points races, it's more fun. You got friends here, and it's just a little more laid back, and it's just a little more laid back. You know, that's more my style. I like the big money stuff, but not full time.
Right. And you're not a guy known to get too excited over a whole lot.
No, I try to.
What triggers you? What sets you off? Anything happen at the racetrack that you're just like, ah? Oh, hell no.
Oh, don't turn the crosstalk on in the final. That makes me mad.
Oh, that happened, yeah.
I walked back to the trailer once on that and just had to sit there for a minute. Now, winning last Sunday, I had to pull off the end of that track, and I had to sit there for a minute, and I was excited. You know, I didn't want to get all crazy down there, so I had to calm myself down and go up to the winner's circle.
That was your first big check win, right?
Yes. Yep, that would be the first big check win.
Right. Yep,
definitely.
So what is in the end game here? What is your goal? What do you want to accomplish in this thing? I know you want points, championships and stuff, but you know, if you retired today, what's one thing you said, man, I wish I would have, could have done this or would have done that. You know, what's your bucket list?
Definitely like on a bucket list is to hit one of those, big million, you know, the million, down there in Alabama or Vegas. One of those would be cool to hit, you know, someday when I have more free time to drive. And, I talked to some Canadians at the SFG race. They're talking about that. You know, they go on like a 5-week swing where they just hit big races. That would be really cool for like a retirement.
But they don't do it for retirement.
Yeah.
You're talking about like guys like Joel and Adam Bitzanis and Russ Adams and those guys. They really enjoy their bracket racing, and you know I've raced in Canada with them, and it's so much different. Like I don't know how. I mean, this is your interview, but I'm kind of going to give you a rundown here. But you go to Canada and you race the bracket Super Tour races. They have a website. You know who you're running round one.
Oh wow!
It's like they put the entries in, and you're on a ladder round one. You know who you got. It gets re-qualified every round. You know who the bike car is. You know who this guy is. And you can go back and look and see what he was last round, which is a really neat system, but I don't know if it would ever work here.
Yeah. Yeah, I like just to pull up and erase who's next to you, I guess. I don't really thought that far ahead for an end game for me. It's just I like chasing the points and hitting a big race here and there and just more laid back. That's just a hobby, you know.
Give me one guy you hate racing against.
Well, we've gone back and forth here lately, but Brian Rockwell, that, you know, local guy, we go back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
And last Saturday, I took too much stripe, hogged it up, and he took the win from me last Saturday. So, yeah, I owe him one, maybe two. We definitely go back and forth.
But he's definitely one of the nicest guys in the pit area. He's a guy that will absolutely bend over backwards for you, and if he has it, it's yours, and vice versa. You know, he let me drive the Roadster one time, and I got out and said, Brian, this thing's broke. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, it leaves, and it's just like, what? Done. And like, it doesn't do anything. He was like, he just started laughing at me. He's like, yeah, the converter goes to like 6,800. It's not anything exciting. And that thing goes dead on. I mean, it is nasty.
Yep.
And, but yeah, he's definitely one of the nicest guys to meet. You know, I know he's involved in the junior dragster deal now too with the, like, it's, what is it, his daughter? Is that right?
Yep. Tegan.
And yep, she's pretty good. I mean, and he's committed to that, and I uphold him highly for that, because that's a hard thing to do.
I got one of them in my garage now. I gotta start dealing with myself.
Just act like it's blown up all the time. Just tell her it's you can't go, sorry honey, they're not racing juniors this weekend. No It's so frustrating, and everybody's like, oh, the faster they go, it's the easier it is. I'm like, well, my 7-year-old can't go 790s, so I got to figure this out.
Yep.
You know, but anyhow, you were on the sticker program, actually, and you kind of just made this week easy for us, because we have an interview with Billy Hill that's going to air here, maybe this episode or the next one, probably this episode if I'm thinking right, but Billy is a sticker program, and he just won. And Zach's like, hey, I saw on Facebook where Billy Hill won in Missouri. We need to get him on this week. I'm like, all right, that's cool. And I sent him a message, and I was like, hey, man, yeah, when do you want to do this interview? And he said, what interview? He said, I just wanted to buy the stickers. I didn't know that was part of it. And from that point on, he was on the chip. So it's kind of a cool thing. Like, even if you would have won the Gamblers race at 131, it doesn't matter. We'll come in here and talk about it. And, you know, you can thank who you want to thank. And it's just a cool thing. Like, a win is a win, and especially these days, it's so hard to do. It doesn't matter if 10 cars or 712 show up. It doesn't matter. It's hard. It's not easy. And you should get recognition for it. And you did just that. And you just made it easy. You made it a 5-grander and an IHRA Sportsman Spectacular. So we two birds, one stone. Here we are. but I think we're going to have to put a limit on how many interviews you can do, because I don't think you're done yet.
I hope you're right.
I'll be like, man, I'm tired of hearing it. Like, I'm tired of talking. No, I'm just kidding. But anyhow, thanks for hopping on here. I know you're busy. You're back at Martin. I'm here at Piedmont. So good luck to you the rest of the day. Is there anything else you want to throw in here? Anything you want to say? Anything that you've been thinking about all week? Like, hey, make sure I say this or take a jab at this person while it's, you know, on this podcast.
Because I think I got them all. I got them all.
All right. Good. Perfect, man. Well, congratulations. And I'll be up north sometime soon to see if I can borrow some money. So have a good one.
All right, man.
Tell the wife we said hi. And good luck to both of you today.
All right, thank you. Hey, man, you too. Good luck. Be safe.
Yep, anytime. See you. So that was an awesome conversation with Dave, and he's one of the best guys in the pit area at all times. I mean, he's just an awesome person. He's been there, and he's done that in a short time of drag racing, and he's always a tough competitor anywhere you roll in the gate at. We're kind of doing this. Zach and I kind of bounced this off a few months ago, really. We recorded our first one, but the winners only segment, and that's what we're going to call the sticker program. Maybe we can get Race Tech to hop in here, because their slogan's for winners only. But winners only with Dialed In and Jake and Zach. And episode 41 is going to showcase the first winners only segment. It's our sticker program. So if you win a race with our stickers presented in the winner's circle, you get interviewed. And I had interviewed Kenny Richardson months ago for his win at, I believe it was I-64 Mountain Park, or one of the tracks down there in Kentucky. It's not Mountain Park anymore, excuse me. But the winner's only segment is just exactly that. If you win a gambler's race, if you win a shootout, if you win a high roller's race, it doesn't matter. You know, it's tough to win at any capacity in this day and age of bracket racing. And if we can help bring limelight to those guys that can do it and the guys that are doing it at a high level right now, that's awesome. We're here for the little guy, the big guy, the medium guy. And that's all it's about. You know, it's the sport we love. This is what we do. If I win, that winner's circle is probably going to be pretty epic. But you bet I'm going to be on some podcast somewhere. Even if it's my own, there's no shame in that at all. So the winner's only segment first is going to feature Kenny Richardson, followed by an interview with Billy Hill. And Billy was on the chip, and he was really, really fun to interview. Really good dude. So enjoy that. And there's not going to be an Emotion Solutions final round discussion this week because it's 96 degrees at Piedmont Dragway. It's hot. We're sitting here during a little bit of a weather delay right now, but thank you to Emotion Solutions. Thank you for everything that Jeff and the crew does there. Emotionsolutions.com for any vinyl graphics needs or flyers or whatever, what have you. Emotion Solutions is the webpage, flyers, stickers, design, you name it. Jeff's really, really good at what he does, and have at it.
All right, so the first edition of Winners Only with Dialed In and Jake and Zach, and we've kind of got a winner and a loser here, but the winner this week is Kenny Richardson. Kenny was a recipient of the sticker program we had going on, and he's actually the first interview we've got from it. I owe Gage Rackford an interview, but whenever he won at the end of the year last year, he just got braces. So, Kenny, man, you came off a win here at Kentucky Dragway. You're from Versailles, Kentucky. Little known facts, William Shatner is also from Versailles, Kentucky. And Happy Chandler, like the second commissioner ever for the Major League Baseball Association, was also from Versailles. But that's no short change to you because you're the most recent winner here in our sticker program. How's it going?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Oh, it's not doing too bad. Just a nice, calm night here in Indiana. It's about to storm, I think. So get this knocked out of the way before my power gets knocked out. But so kind of run us through your weekend here at Kentucky Dragway. What was it, 2 weeks ago?
It was last weekend. I got the win at Kentucky Dragway, first weekend out in the dragster this year. We did a couple tests and tunes. It's actually the first race on a new motor in the car, completely new piece, everything. Went pretty well, dodged the rain, got it all in, did pretty well, got it done, everything that we had to do.
Yeah, and kind of that was the name of the game last weekend, was find out where it's going to be dry. I know I sat in Crossville and it sprinkled on us a little bit, then it quit, and sprinkled on us a little bit, then quit. And, you know, it was supposed to start at noon, and we started at 1:30, and it sprinkled a little bit again. Then we had somebody wreck. The battle of rain dodging, especially on Sunday, was pretty rough. But on a day like that, like, I know myself, I pretty well just get wore down easily waiting on it to stop raining. You know, I kind of – what did you do to pass the time? What did you do to – I mean, I know Aaron had talked about canceling or what have you, but – kind of go through how your morning went and then leading up into, you know, first round on.
You know, we headed down there the whole way down to the track. It was raining and misting, and, you know, right up until about 20 miles from the track, it was just complete downpour. And we were going to see what everybody was doing and whatnot. And a buddy of ours called and said that it wasn't raining down that way. So we decided to just power on through and head on down. And, you know, we got there, we unloaded, it rained again, loaded it back up, cleaned the car up, you know, did all the typical rain out at the track stuff, ride around on the golf cart. And then, you know, when it came time to start making time runs, car was on, driver was somewhat there, but the car bailed me out quite a bit.
Trust me, I know exactly how you feel. So who did you run in the final there? I know a lot of the local guys there, and I actually raced quite a bit there the last couple of years, but you know, what did it look like there at four or the final round even?
I was sitting on the bye at three cars, and in the finals I had to run Homie Combs. Ooh. You know, ooh. Them Comb boys have had my number for a long time. I finally was able to get it done over them, and, you know, for anybody that races around here, if you have to run a Combs in the finals, you might as well pretty much just put it back on the trailer, it seems like. I mean, you know, that's definitely not an easy, it's not a duck or an easy draw by any means.
Yeah, it seems like anytime the Combs boys show up, they're going to get a picture taken somewhere, somehow. And the problem is they keep multiplying. You know, you've got
Lil
Phil and Zach. And when Papa Combs comes out, he's tough too. Yeah, it's a Homie's not the draw you want there in the final round. But really, once you get that far down, you're probably just grooving, right?
Oh, yeah. The car was dead on all night. I probably could have painted the dial in right on the car and it would have been fine. You know, I had a little bit of problems with the tree and time runs. I got the box figured out where I needed it to be and just didn't even bother touching it all night once I got it where it needed to be. And that's probably the best decision I could make because it just set me up where I needed to be and everything was just falling into place like it should. I was able to tighten up on the stripe a couple rounds like I had to and get it done.
So you're telling me you set the delay box in time runs and didn't change it, like not even a thou?
No, once I made three time runs and figured out where I needed to be, set it first round and didn't bother touching it after that. Set myself up to be about 10 all night and got it done.
Wow, maybe I need to try that. So kind of tell us about your racing program. You said you and your dad are involved and kind of tell us, you know, a little bit about that and your car and where you frequent mostly.
You know, we hit pretty much, you know, a lot of tracks around the central Kentucky, eastern Kentucky area, you know, London Dragway, Kentucky Dragway, I-64, you know, frequent those places. And I'm a first generation racer, you know, a good family friend got us into it. And me and my sister started racing, you know, junior dragsters together, I guess it's been 6 or 7 years ago now. And she moved up to a bottom bulb truck this year. And, you know, the program's coming together. I've got the Worthy dragster with the big block in it. It's turned out to be a pretty deadly piece this year, it seems like.
Yeah, the Worthy cars, I know they haven't made them in quite a few years, but I got the opportunity to drive one a few years ago, and they work pretty well. Can you kind of tell us who helps you out on it? And, you know, you have any people backing you, any sponsors, anybody you'd like to thank for to get you where you're at even? Because we all know it's not easy to do alone and darn near impossible.
Yeah, my parents and, you know, my whole family play a big role in it. I mean, mom and dad give everything they do to make sure that we're going down the track with the best equipment that we can to have fun and win while we're doing it and be safe. And then Lynn Ray, Blake Williamson, and Tom Williamson at Lynn Speed and Custom, they put together a pretty bad car for us this year and in the years past and put together my sister's S10 and got it going pretty good. And can't forget Champ for getting me parts quick and cheaper than anybody else can.
Well, you know, you said that, and I was going to kind of talk to you about the whole Team Champ setup because we're on the bandwagon. Champ's got us swindled. He's got a pretty good deal going on with his monthly raffles and whatnot, and you pretty well text him any time of night as long as it's not on a weekend past 10 o'clock, but he gets kind of cranky. But yeah, the Team Champ's thing's working out all right, and it seems like it helped you get in the winner's circle.
Yeah, it does. The first month that I was in it, I won a $75 gift card to him. And then actually, I texted him first thing Monday morning or about Monday around lunchtime and had to order a part. And I got home Tuesday afternoon and it was there. So can't beat that either.
Yeah, he's definitely on top of it. So I'm going to go to the lighter side here a little bit. I'm going to ask you a few questions, just yes or no answers or either or is actually what they're going to turn into a little bit. So you're pretty familiar with like the horse race area and the scene there on the PBR side of things. You're kind of in touch with all of that, right?
Yes, sir.
So would you rather win a 40-1 bet at the Kentucky Derby, or would you rather hang on for 8 seconds on taking care of business?
Win the 40-1 bet for sure.
You don't want to see that 9 second, huh?
No.
So if you had a dream race car, what is it?
I've got to say it'd be a Outlaw 470 or a Top Sportsman car. I just love those things. I mean, best of both worlds. You're getting to go fast, bracket race, and drive a door car.
What body would you choose?
I've got to say probably like a split bumper Camaro. I'm in love with those styles in the pro mods.
The least aerodynamic car possible. I like that. You got to make more power that way. So if you could be any animal, what would you be?
Ooh, that's a tough one. That is a tough one. I'd have to probably say whatever the fastest animal. I guess a cheetah. That way I could be pretty fast.
Yeah, it's not a bad pick, really. Well, Kenny, it's been great, man. Congratulations on your win at Kentucky Dragway. And you're the first guest on Winners Only with Dialed In at Jake and Zach. And thanks for your time. Good luck wherever you're going next weekend. Where are we going to see you at?
We'll probably know about Friday what the weather does and see where we head from there.
All right, man. Well, congratulations again, and good luck wherever you go. And we'll see you here in the staging lanes before long, I'm sure.
Thank you for having me on.
Yep. Well, thanks for being a part of the sticker program. This is what it's all about right here. You know, it's not all about who wins $100,000 every week. You know, it's tough to win anywhere. It sucks to go anywhere and get your head kicked in. So it makes it worth it, I think. So, yeah.
Most definitely.
I think it's a good thing. We don't need to see everybody knows who wins the million. Everybody knows who wins the spring fling races. But it's rough to go out here. A lot of guys that win these big races go to the points race and get their head kicked in. So it's definitely not easy, and it's definitely deserves notoriety. So you got just that, and we will we'll see you next time you turn on the last wind light, because we're going to do this again.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, Kenny, have a good one.
You too.
So our second ever interview, well, I say our, but lightly, you know, Zach's got plans and I've got plans, and we're doing this. Billy and I are sitting here, but the guy out of Mansfield, Missouri, that just put it on him in a class called Super Comp, and he did it with a door car, which is pretty cool, which I think is a little bit of different rules package, Super Comp, what have you. But nonetheless, this is our winners only episode with Billy Hill. And Billy, it's late in my neck of the woods on Wednesday night.
Yes.
We're supposed to do this about 3 hours ago, but I have this thing called Hodge time, and I run late everywhere I go. Ask anybody that knows me. I'm the last one there and usually the last one to leave. But not about me. You got it done, and you didn't even realize the sticker program produced this interview. And we do a bad job of promoting it and kind of what you get out of buying stickers. But you bought them, I believe, from Zach in Memphis, right?
Yeah. I thought you were a bot, actually, when you messaged me.
Well, I've actually, it's funny you say that. I've had three of those like today, and I don't know what's going on. But
I had like 2 minutes before you sent me that, and I thought somebody's hacked his account or something.
No, man, you deserved it. You earned it. This is the winners only segment. We need to get like Race Tech to sponsor us or something for this, because, you know, it's for winners only, I guess, is what Race Tech's slogan is. But you did it. You cracked him in Super Comp, and you ran a Super Comp race that pays a lot more than any divisional Super Comp race at all. So kind of tell us about what Super Comp is at Bon Terre Drag Strip. And you said it's Farmington, Missouri. I just learned this just before we started recording. So, you know, it's news to me, just like it's news to everybody else. But kind of just run us down, you know, what Super Comp is. And you do it in a Ford Maverick. And I alluded to you that there's one around my neck of the woods that just destroys everybody. So it's not a surprise to see another Ford Maverick in a winner's circle anywhere else. But give us a rundown about Super Comp. Give us a rundown about Bon Terre. And give us a rundown about your racing operation. You know, how did you get to this point? When did you start? Why did you start? And why do you still do it?
Well, Super Comp at Bon Terre is basically like Super Pro or Box classes. That's basically what it is. And it's a really nice little track there. It's all asphalt, and it's the first time I'd ever went there. The reason I went there is because the track I raced up here at home, it was having the shootout race, and I told the wife, I said, you guys want to go up there and try this little track out? And it's like 3 hours from us, but there's no good way of getting there. And she's like, yeah, and we just loaded the kids up and did it on a whim. It was turned out pretty good.
I'd say it turned out pretty decent, but kind of run us through your night. You know, what did you get by with one a certain round? Is there anything that stuck out throughout the night that, you know, maybe you think kind of sealed the deal in your eyes or gave you a little boost of confidence throughout the whole deal? Because, I mean, you ask anybody, you got to have one of those rounds to get by that you shouldn't have got by to get a win anywhere. Well, it happens.
Yeah, I did, but I guess it's hard to, that track, the scoreboards are at like the 3:30 mark. And the wind lights are at the 8th mile marker. And so the left wind light wasn't even working. So I'd run the left lane like every time I could. And so I never knew if I won or lost basically until I got back to the, yeah, it was nerve wracking. And, and at that track, if you, the best light gets the bye, and you can get it like every round. So I got the bye like every round but 2 rounds, and 2 of the rounds I raced the same guy and he red lit. Well, and I didn't know that he red lit because my wind light didn't come on because the light was out. So
ripping him up, weren't you?
Yeah, and I gave it back 13,000, and I looked at my ticket and I was like, I was pissed. I was like, you did it again. You gave away another strike, and because I was like 004. And then I looked and it said he was red, and I was like, oh. And it was kind of nerve wracking driving all the way back to the ticket booth, not knowing if you won or not. You're like, yeah, I think I won, but I don't know.
If you just live a life like mine, you just already know the answer. I just burnt some gas. We're good.
Well, I did have a really good day on the tree. I had one light that was a 19 and all the, and I had a really good close race against the Camaro. He was a little bit slower than me, and the finish finish margin was like 8-10 thousandths, but we both had decent lights. And other than that, I was like 001 and 004. Oh, I had a really good day, you know. But I really, yeah, I let one get by, but he was red and I didn't even know.
So, I mean, that's not a bad one to let get by, though. You know, you just gave it back for the wind light. It's really all that matters.
And then when we were in the right before I went up to for the finals, I told my wife, I said, you know, I said, this is so nerve wracking having to drive all the way back to the ticket booth because we were parked by the along the track. And I said, you guys jump up and down if I won. That way I don't have that long drive back to the deal. Well, the lights were shining back on my windshield, and it was kind of glaring, so I couldn't see them until I almost got up there. And my one son, he was only waving one arm at that point because they were wore out. And I thought, oh, he'll act like I won, and he don't know that I lost. And I thought, so I didn't know how to even take that. So I still didn't know I won until I got the ticket. And anyways, it was a really good experience. It was like a foundation for like a church camp. So it was like a straight up gambler's race. It was $100 entry, and I think there was like 13 of us in it. And then they had 28 no box cars, which that's a really good, because it was $100 for them too. So they had like a $2,800 purse or something for a no box at a gambler's race. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and I don't know, maybe you have the same luck or the same feeling, but I feel like every time I go into a track that I haven't been to, I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe it's hey, this is, you know, the local guy that just crushes them here every week. I don't know that. But I know it's definitely a psychological game whenever you go into a track that you've never been to, especially whenever you've had a pretty exhausting drive 3 hours and there's no way to get there, even though it's the same state as you. But, I mean, do you have any idea, like, did you feel a sense of maybe anxiousness that kept you focused all day, or did you feel maybe a little bit of nervousness that kept you focused, or did you just go in there not caring and you're just here to have fun and just here to crack them for super cup win?
Kind of the last part you said, it was basically going to be like a mini vacation for us because they had a big tire and a small tire class too. And I've gotten really lucky this year. I haven't had any nerves racing, which that's a good thing. Like not getting nervous, because that was used to be my biggest downfall. It was, you know, kind of like I'm just here for a vacation and I want to crack him. Because the last two rounds, and the locals would come up to me, oh, this guy's a heavy hitter. Yeah. And I was like, well, he might be a heavy hitter, but I'm feeling it today, so it doesn't bother me at all, you know. So
it's just one of those days that you feel you couldn't do any wrong. And we all have those days. And it's been a while since I've had one, but I'm glad you had one. And, you know, this is what the sticker program is all about. We don't care what you win. If you want to support our podcast, we will support your racing program. So, like, whenever we sell a sticker, it's $10, okay? Podomatic and all of our – we have expenses to keep the podcast up and running. Zach and I really don't make anything, and that's cool because we like to do it. But, you know, if you buy $10 and support us, you win – you go in a freaking golf cart race, and you've got dialed-in stickers on your car, on your golf cart – we're going to talk about it. You know, you get to come on a podcast and say, hey, man, we had a good day, you know, and it gets you brownie points for the wife or the dad or the mom or whoever goes with you to the racetrack, and sponsors and whatnot love it. So you picked them up from Zach in Memphis, what, the Memorial Day race? What was it, the Dream Team Challenge, right?
Yeah, I drove down there on a Saturday, and he and Jake Howard and him
oh,
were
man,
like
– you can't say that name here.
they were the first two I met, you know, and I wanted to try to meet as many, because in my eyes, this big bracket racing, it's like rock stars almost, you know. You see all these guys on the Motor Mania and stuff, and I listened to you guys' podcast since day one, and I thought, I got to talk to Zach. I talked to Zach for probably 45 minutes in his trailer. I was like, I got to get these stickers, and I teased him. I was like, don't tell Hodge I bought these, and you can keep the $10.
Well, and you know what? We don't really monitor it. You know, whenever expenses come up, we just get it paid. It doesn't really matter. And I'm completely okay with Zach, because he's I think I sent him most of the stickers I had, because I had a lot going on lately. That's why I told him, I said, just keep the money, and whenever we need something, just need something. If not, if you need something, buy something. Just part of it.
Your podcast is a really good thing for bracket racing. You, and the other guys, you know, Luke and Jed, I love, yeah. You know.
I don't know if you've heard Luke and Jed's this week, which is the week of the 17th, but theirs was awesome. I mean, they did a segment about the state of bracket racing, and they hit so many points that were great, and we've asked them the same questions, and they don't have the answers, obviously, because nobody really knows. They walked us through, you know, what cause and effect is in the bracket racing world today, and it's rough. Right now, it's hard. And, you know, just for like you live in a terrible spot to go race big money races. And I live in a terrible spot to go race big money races. Zach lives in an okay spot. He's a couple hours closer to the southeast part. But if you live on the East Coast right now, you can race for $10,000 every weekend within a six-hour drive.
Oh, crazy. Yeah.
I don't even know. Do they have a 10 grander in Missouri at all? I know they postponed the one at Gateway.
No, I haven't been to Gateway. Gateway would be the only one that we tried to have a few races, bigger races, a couple of years back, and they just never really come to fruition. That is good. They didn't have the car count, and it wasn't really guaranteed money. I think they ought to try it again, but
it's one of those things that I feel like whenever you bring something new like that to a market that's never seen it, everybody's hesitant, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody, I mean, that we all work hard for our money. That's no secret. We all do. I mean, you do, I do. Everybody around us we go racing with, most of them do. You have to say, hey, I'm going to take a chance here. It's because that's what we're doing. We're gambling. We're literally gambling with our toys. But
I've noticed at the local ones is, like, our locals won't show up because they're scared or don't want to race, like, what we call professional racers or something, you know. It's like I went to Memphis and Zach told me, he's like, this is just another race. And that's what I kept in my mind the whole time I raced down there. And I did pretty well. You know, I never thought I was racing for $10,000 and $20,000. It's just another race. You just got to run it, you know.
And honestly, like, this is not about me, but to your point, I went to the $525,000 race in Michigan, right?
Yeah, and you did pretty good, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I got by for a little bit.
You did. I mean, you didn't win, but you won several rounds in the one day, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I made it to 18 or something one day. I gave it back sixth out of Gage Burgess the day he runnered up. Yeah, it's all good. But to your point, you know, I went to that deal, and there was a 25 grander supposed to happen on Sunday, and they dropped it. I was relieved. You know, how crazy is that I was excited to turn down a $25,000 race? That's a testament, like, the world we live in right now. Like, I can drive past a 10 and not even think twice about it. I don't know why the mentality is that way, but it's just the way it is. And the state of bracket racing anymore is just, I don't know. Like, you guys out west, I almost feel bad for you, because everybody should be able to, should get to do this. Everybody should have that opportunity.
But, yeah, well, yeah, I agree.
But for somebody to jump out on a limb and run to Missouri at, say, Sykeston or something, say, hey, 10 grand to win, 3 days in a row, bring your money, you'll have 40 people show up.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean,
but
yeah.
10 grand to win, 3 days in a row at Huntsville, bring your money, you have 480 cars. You know, it's
right.
It's crazy, but
Memphis is a bad of a drive for us for the most part. It's only like 4.5-hour drive, so, you know, that's not bad.
You know, and I've been in Memphis before. I've never raced there at all. I don't know. I've driven plenty further than Memphis, but it's just one track that I've never been to, and I don't know why that is. I just haven't.
It's a really nice facility. I will give them that for sure.
So, kind of reflecting back to what you've got going on, you know, what in your mind, what is your opinion of the state of bracket racing? Like, I don't know, how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing it since like 2013 was my first year, and I raced I guess the best thing to do is, like, my dad raced when I was little. He was really good. He raced in, I don't know, like 93. He was like the top money winner. Back then they didn't have points up here, but he won like every race that year. And he's basically what got me into racing when I was a little kid. My mom kind of frowned on the racing, so he had to put that on the back burner for quite a few years. And then as we got older, he started racing again. Him and a friend of ours built a race car, and he drove it for him. And that got me into racing. I bought a little 79 Fox Body Mustang, and I started off on top, you know, in Super Pro.
Yeah,
I
me thought, too.
You know, I didn't want to, I wanted to, in my eyes, that was the top class, and I was the one I wanted to do, like my dad. And the first year I raced, I think I finished ninth in the points, which that's, I thought that was a pretty good accomplishment. Right. And I made it to a couple of finals. I didn't win that year. I made it to a couple of finals and numerous semifinals. And I raced really hard that year. And the next year I went through divorce and kind of, I didn't race as much. And then after that, I took a couple of years off. And I just got back into it full time last year. And I'd bought that Maverick before last season started. And I did really well in it. I tried running a top and bottom class. And I'd done really good at bottom, but it was a hindrance to my top. So I gave that up about the last third of the year, and then my top game started doing really good. And then I started having electric issues in my car. So that kind of ended my season basically in my car. And then this year, this will be my third full year if everything goes to plan. And I've been pretty good this year in my car. We've had so many rainouts that it's been hard to race like every weekend or every other weekend. That's been the biggest thing. And then I was gonna go to Chad's race in Holly Springs, and I went and bought this trailer, and then my head gasket blew out of my truck, so I didn't even get to go to that. It was kind of bad. I've done all right this year so far. Hopefully.
Since you came back on the scene, you got thrown right in the middle of where this bracket racing big money stuff started escalating. It took off a little bit in 2012, 2013. It kind of fizzled out a little bit, but like 2016 and on, it was on like Donkey Kong. There were races popping up everywhere and guaranteed this, guaranteed that, and a couple motors have burned out since then. A couple motors are still hanging around, and a lot of people are making it work. How long will we see a time like this is like the question everybody's asking. But in all reality, I think we're doubting how much money the professional racers have to keep it afloat.
That's because eventually, I don't know. It's crazy. Where's the end to it, though? They're guaranteed millions of dollars, and like, what are they gonna do next? $2 million guarantee? I don't know. It's crazy how much money is in it.
Absolutely is.
Mind-boggling, really. And I seen the post the other day that somebody. It was on drag coverage or something where they were talking about the professional bracket racers are like rock stars right now because, how big it's gotten so quickly.
Yep.
It really is. It's crazy.
Yeah. And, it's crazy to see the amount of money thrown around also. I mean, you have the guys that come to the racetrack, and then you have the guys that come to the racetrack, and then they go to the casino afterwards, and they, buy a new rig or buy a new engine because they need a spare in case something happens because they're out on the road so much. And it's just like, man, we have professional team, like professional equipment, professional trailer setups with cars and backup engines and transmissions, everything you could think of to go bracket racing.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. And yet a little Ford Ranger pickup won the biggest prize so far to date.
Yeah, a $7,500 truck.
I love it. I love it. That's why I love bracket racing. It's the best motorsport in the world. Anybody can do it.
People have said, that he's been given this, he's been given that. He's put in work. He's put in work for a lot of years.
That boy is going to be good for a long time.
Right. He's paid his dues through the junior dragster ranks, and he kept racing the junior and entering pro and super pro and whatever else he can enter in the same night and racing all of them. Whew, it's crazy. But anyhow, anybody that you would like to thank that keeps the racing operation on the road, anybody that, does stuff for you that, this is your time to let them shine.
Well, I have to thank God for all the blessings he's given me in my life. And then I've got to thank my wife for being, she's so understanding about racing. She loves it, but she doesn't get to go. Sometimes I'll go to a track that's a few hours away called Mocan. It's another really nice track. My home track is Ozark up here in Rogersville, but she's so understanding about the racing and her and the kids, like, they keep me going. And then, my dad, he supports me a lot. Me and him race together. My cousin sometimes would go with me, but he's kind of having problems right now. And my brother, he always goes. And I got Mark Solins and the E85 carburetors. if those he builds the best ED5 carburetors in the world in my car, it's a copy machine for the most part. It's as long as I can let go of the button good and not make a stupid boneheaded decision on the top end like half the time, you know, I guess that's it.
Yeah, and you're right. And my favorite thing about Mark Stallings, he has no problem telling anybody what's up.
Oh, he doesn't. And if people just would like put his stuff on there and listen to him, then his carburetors are A1. I mean, they're the best.
I'd be a really bad customer, just so you know. I'd be, he'd be like, "What do you mean he touched it?" We're like, "I couldn't help but touch it. It's my fault."
Like, it's so cheap to race on. I just use the pump. Like, it cost me $6 the other day to race up there at Bonterre.
I don't want to talk about it. I just bought a Drama VP 112. So.
Oh, wow.
Let's not talk about that. All right. So we're going to round this thing out. And I don't know if you've listened to the last couple episodes of the podcast, but we kind of I kind of started doing something different, and Zach kind of hopped on board with it. And it's pretty cool. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. You said you listened to every episode. So.
Yes.
What are we doing here?
The rapid fire questions.
Yeah, I mean, we can't take their name, but yeah, pretty much it's this or that.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and
sorry.
Once again,
sorry.
Yeah. No, no, no. It's all right. They don't care. They really don't. They're the best in the business. But all right. So, Hoosiers or Mickey's?
Mickey's.
Chevy or Ford?
Ford.
Impact or Simpson?
Simpson.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch or Pop Tarts for breakfast?
I like bacon and eggs, but.
Option C.
Pop-Top or Cinnamon Toast Crunch if I have to pick a cereal.
Tennis shoes or sandals?
Tennis shoes, but the flip-flops are kind of my go-to if I just want to lounge.
White or wheat?
Wheat.
I know this answer already, but people that weren't listening earlier, left lane or right lane?
Left.
Trans brake off the bottom or foot brake off the bottom?
Trans brake. Even though I suck off the bottom, it doesn't matter, but...
Luke Bogacki or Kevin Brandon?
Well, that's man, Luke.
Yeah, you can't really argue with past success and future success because Kevin's not done, and I mean Luke isn't either for that aspect. But they're not the same age; doesn't count, right?
Right.
So all expenses paid vacation to the beach or free entry into the million.
Gotta be the million.
You gotta realize your wife is gonna listen to this.
My wife, she trust me, she will tell me, she'll say the same thing. I promise. I promise. She likes the racing just about as much as I do, and especially if she thinks I can win $1 million, because then I can take her to the beach all the time.
You can buy a house down there, right?
She's from Florida, so we go down there every year just about. So.
All right. And last but not least, Jake or Zach?
Oh, really? Oh, Lord. No, I'm not doing that. No. No, not happening.
No. All right. Well, this has been episode, I guess, really episode number one of our winners only segment, but overall episode 41, dialed in with Jake and Zach. And we're Zachless for the most part. I think he's going to do a little bit of results, but Zach's getting ready to go to the door car race at I-57. So good luck to him and good luck to you. Where are you heading next, Billy?
I would like to be going there, but I guess I'm going to be going to. And did you see where they let the last few on the list in? I should have filled the paperwork out. I'm going to go to Ozark, though, for our we have a 2-day race up here. It's an Ironman race. So since I can't go to the door car only race.
Yeah, I understand that. But anyway, congratulations. Good job on your win at Bonterre, not Bonnetary. Shout out to your wife and your kids for putting up with this bad habit we've got.
Yeah, they love it. They love it. They really do.
You have to.
If it wasn't for them, I couldn't do it.
Absolutely. Well, I've got a lot of work to do before I roll anywhere from where I'm at right now. So thanks for being patient with me tonight. It's been awesome having you on. Congratulations once again. And go win another one. We'll talk again.
I will. I'm going to try. I'm going to try to win two this weekend. So I appreciate you having me on, though. This is actually really awesome. I thought you were screwing with me at first.
No, sir. And if you win two this weekend, we're going to let you do the whole podcast next week. You got it made from there on out.
Probably not even listen to this episode, but just because I'm on here, I'm not no big name.
No, no, no. You definitely earned it. Congratulations and have fun. And just keep doing it, man. We'll see you around, and hopefully we'll see you soon at somewhere out west.
Hopefully I'll see you at Memphis.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. All right, Billy, have a good night.
So that'll do it for me on episode number 41. We'll have Zach back. I think we're going to do an early episode next week because we're both busy next week. He's going on vacation. But we've got something really, really cool for next week. And I think you're really, really going to enjoy it. It's something different. And we're going to recap our weekends, and then we're going to turn it over what we've got going on with the show next week. So give us a like, give us a share. Tell us what you do like, what you don't like. Thanks, George Hoff, for your feedback last week. I think there was a little bit of confusion. I wasn't trying to set Gage up to say anything negative about anybody. I just wanted to address that. I just had honest questions. And I do this a lot off the top of my head. I'm not a very prepared individual. Zach makes up for the preparedness. He's very prepared. I am not whatsoever, and a lot of you that know me know that. So if you guys think I'm trying to throw somebody under the bus or anything, I'll make it blatantly obvious when I'm trying to do it, because I'll just tell you. So I wasn't trying to start anything. And Gage's interview was awesome. We thank him for coming on last week and his most recent success. He foot-braked his way to a semifinal finish last night at the $15,000 Thursday here at Piedmont. So stay tuned, and we'll see you guys in the staging lanes.
What's up, Dialed In listeners? This is Luke Bogacki for ThisIsBracketRacing.com. Do you drive the finish line more like Ray Miller or more like Ray Charles? Not to worry. We can help. There are two keys to success at the finish line. The first is understanding. The second, execution. One feeds the other. Seat time alone isn't the answer unless you know exactly what it is that you're trying to accomplish and why. What we do on This Is Bracket Racing feeds into the understanding element, and understanding is what makes execution possible. One of my favorite training resources on thisisbracketracing.com is a video that we put together on working on the finish line weakness. Exclusively for you, Dialed In listeners, we're giving away access to that for free. To take advantage, visit thisisbracketracing.com/dialedstripe. Again, thisisbracketracing.com/dialed for the Dialed In podcast. Stripe, all one word. Dialed Stripe.